Exodus chapter 14, we will read verses 15 and 16. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. It is your word that leads us and guides us and helps us to understand who you are and who you've created us to be. Lord, this morning we are in need of a word from you. We've come because we need to hear what you have to say to us today. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive without doubt your word today. Cancel every assignment of the adversary whose job this morning is to distract us from even hearing your word today. So bind up every distraction in the name of Jesus. Cancel the assignment of the adversary that after we have received the word, his job this week is to choke the word so they don't produce fruit. We cancel the choking spirit this morning that we be able to receive the word, that it be planted in our hearts. It will not fall on unproductive ground, but we are good ground this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, God. We receive your word in truth because only your word is true. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 14. Verses 15 and 16 says, then the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. This is the word of the Lord. One of the skills that we need to develop as believers is the skill of being able to discern the voice of God. We need to practice his voice. We need to be able to identify when he is speaking to us. It's so important that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And they are so good at identifying my voice that a stranger or a strange voice, they will not follow. They only follow the voice that is familiar to them. And he says, my voice is the voice that is familiar to them. And so today we need to be able to discern the voice of God. And in spite of what we have heard or what we have seen, God is always speaking. He's always saying something. He speaks to us through the preached word. So as we are hearing a message, and every once in a while we hear something and we say, it's the preacher's mouth moving, but that was the word of the Lord for me. Yeah, I could tell that came right from heaven to hit me right in the heart. God just spoke to me. He speaks to us in the written word. We can read the same verse over and over again. And then one time we read it and all of a sudden it's saying something to us that we never heard before. We know at that moment that God is speaking to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, means one thing when you're 6 years old. It means something totally different when you're 46 years old. Come on, somebody. It's the same words, but it speaks very differently to us. God is always speaking to us. God speaks to us through our friends. You ever had a conversation with a friend of yours and they say something and something quickens in your spirit and you're like, God, that's what I needed to hear. Thank you for saying that to me today. Thank you for revealing your truth to me today. Here's another thing. God also speaks to us through our enemies. Don't leave. God uses our enemies. Read the Bible. God was always using Israel's enemies to communicate a message to them. He'll use their enemies to say, repent. He'll use their enemies to say, come on home. He'll use their enemies to say, there is no God but me. You done got carried away in this false God. And I'm going to use an enemy that's going to cause you to return back to me. God uses even our enemies to speak to us. He'll speak to us through a song. You ever heard a song? And that song is word for word what you needed to hear from the word. You minded your business. A song comes on the radio and all of a sudden your spirit gets stirred and you stop what you're doing and tears start coming down because you realize God sent that song to let you know I haven't forgotten about you. My promise is still good. He'll send a song to you. Then he also sent a circumstance to you. He speaks to us through circumstances. I want you to look around you. Look at what's happening in your life and ask yourself, God, what are you saying to me in this circumstance? You've got to be trying to communicate something. What if you keep trying to do something over and over again? I know they say if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. But sometimes you not succeeding in that area is God's way of saying, that's not what I want you to do. And you can do it over and over again, and you'll never be successful at it because God is saying, turn right. And you're like, nope, I'm going left. Your circumstances, he speaks to us. Then there's that still small voice, that little nudge in your spirit that says, call somebody, check on somebody, make a left, don't make a right. You get an opportunity and you turn the opportunity down. You don't know why, but there's something in your spirit that says, no, you need to pass that by. God, speak to us in little nudges here and there. And if you learn to listen to the little nudge, you make better decisions. Listen, God is not hiring an airplane to write you a letter in the sky. You got to learn how to listen to the little nudge. You're not going to hear a voice. This is God talking to you. No, you may, but I don't know anybody who has heard him talk to them like that recently, but I know a lot of us where every once in a while we'll feel that nudging in the spirit. Yeah, this is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to be doing. One of the things that made Moses such a powerful leader is because he learned how to hear God's voice. What made Moses a great leader is because he was always talking to God. Before he talked to the people, he talked to God. Before he told the people to do something, he asked God, what do you want me to tell them? He sought the counsel of God before he did anything. And he had the discipline to wait until he's heard from God. That's another discipline, the discipline of waiting to hear from him. Lord, speak to me. Give me a word in 5 minutes. If I don't hear from you in 5 minutes, this is what I'm going to do, and I want you to bless what I'm going to do. But the Bible tells us they that wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, wait on the Lord. Yeah, wait. So Moses learned how to wait on the Lord. He would talk to God and wait for instructions. And then when he received instructions from God, then Moses would give instructions to the people. Verse 15 is a perfect example of why not only is it necessary for you to be able to discern the voice of God, but it is necessary for you to practice keeping your ear to God's mouth. Meaning keep your ear close to him. Look at what verse 15 says. The latter part of verse 15, God tells Moses to tell the people to get moving. Move forward. Now, this is an insignificant commandment or instructions. It seems pretty rational, and there's no debate here. There's no concern here for Moses to get the instructions to tell the people to get moving until you remember that a couple of verses ago, God told Moses to tell the people to stand still. Wait a minute. Get moving and stand still are two very different commands. This highlights why it is not only important for you to hear the word of God, to get instructions from him, but it's also important for you to check in with him to see if this is still what you want me to do. Yeah, sometimes we hear the word of God, we get a message from the Lord, and we run with it, and we just do it. Every once in a while, you need to check in with God. Hear what I'm saying? Check in and say, God, do you still want me to do what you told me to do in verse 6? Am I still standing still, or is it time to move? Here's a perfect example. Brother Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his son. And in obedience, Abraham went to sacrifice his son. Then he got his son Isaac on the altar, blade in hand, ready to be obedient to God and sacrifice his son. But then the angel of the Lord came to him and said, get your hands off him. Leave him alone. Don't touch him. I got a ram in the bush. Now listen. Abraham could have said, no, God told me to sacrifice him, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to let no devil get me to stop doing what God told me to do. God said, sacrifice him, and he dies today. But he was sensitive enough to know God's voice. And in spite of what God said last week, he said, God, you're telling me to do something different this week. Here's the point I want to make here. It's not just important for you to know what God said. It is important to know what he is saying. Let me say it a different way. It's not just important for you to know what God said in the past, but it is important for you to know what he is saying today. All right. Oh, come on. Let me try one more way. If you were here last Sunday and you heard the word of the Lord say, stand still, but you're not here today, you're not hearing the word that says, move forward. So tomorrow, you're still standing still when God said, move forward. Come on, somebody. That's why it's important that you constantly keep your ear to the mouth of God. Listen, last week's word was good, but it's been 7 days. A lot has happened in the past 7 days. God, I need to know, what do you want me to do today? What is your word for today? Last Sunday was good, but here I am again. I need a word from the Lord today. What are you saying today? Every profession that requires you to hold a license also requires you to have continuing education. Why is that? Because things change. If you got your medical license in 1990, well, it's 2018. There is a lot that has changed in medical science now. And if you are still practicing the protocols of 1990, I promise you, you're going to a lot of funerals in your practice. Because there are things that we realize in 1990 we thought it was helpful. Now we realize it is harmful. There are better medications. There's better protocols. So every once in a while, you got to go to the class and say, what are we saying now? What is happening now? That's how it is with our relationship with God. You've got to keep your ear to the mouth of God and say, God, what are you saying right now? What do you want me to do now? Some of us are still doing what God said 10 years ago. And that might be the right thing to do. Because there's some things God told me to do 10 years ago. And I'm still doing, like, pray, fast, forgive, all those great things, right? But it's possible that you may be functioning under instructions that were for 5 years ago. A lot has changed. You ought to every once in a while ask God, is this still how you want me to approach this situation? Am I still in your will? Am I still in your way? Or do you have something new to say? Are there new instructions? Because God never gets it wrong. If he says stand still, that is right. If 5 minutes later he says get moving, that's right too. Because God never gets it wrong. But we get it wrong because we can get stubborn. Oh, I'm going to stay right here. I remember when God said for me to do this, and I'm going to do it until I die. My brothers and my sisters know every once in a while, bow before God and say, God, I want to hear what you have for me today. I don't want to miss the instructions for today. Why? Because things have changed. They're constantly changing. Here's the last point that I'm done for today. Second part I want you to know is about this verse is God asks Moses, why are you crying out to me? Now remember, the children of Israel are trapped in the wilderness. They have mountains on either side. The sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them. And Moses is being blamed for this whole situation. Read the verses up. People are like, it's your fault. We told you to leave us in Egypt. Now we're out here. Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here in the wilderness to die? So Moses is being blamed for the situation. The children of Israel were trapped, and Moses is being blamed. And Moses does the same thing that I would have done if I was him. He cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, why? Why you bring me out here with these people? These people about to die, and it's all my fault. Why can you just leave me alone? God, what you going to do? The only reason we're in this situation is because you told us, God, we were doing good where we were. We were making it where we were. God, what am I going to do, God? He cries out to God, and God says, why are you crying out to me? Have you ever been talking to somebody about something you were going through? And they had this look on their face or their body language or the words that came out of their mouth was like, so what are you telling me for? Just spent the 15 minutes crying out to you, explaining all the problems I'm having at my job. And the person looks back out at you like they couldn't care less about what you're going through. Like, talk to somebody who cares, because I don't. That's what Moses is going through now. There's a reason for it, and I thought about when I was in my 20s and my 30s, I used to be able to eat a heavy meal at night and go right to sleep. Sleep good, sleep like a baby. 10:30 at night, eat a heavy meal, 11 o'clock, I'm in the bed, and I am asleep till it's time to get up. That all changed when I got in my 40s. Now, if it's late at night and I eat a heavy meal, I'm telling you, I'm walking that floor all night long. I'm going to have nightmares and hot sweats and trouble breathing, stomach hurting, everything. I feel like this is it. It's a bad situation. I made that mistake one day. I think we got home late from church one night and I was hungry, hadn't eaten the day, and I just used my mouth as a vacuum cleaner, ate up everything I could get a hold of. Lay down, 20 minutes later, I promise you, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I'm like, this is how I'm going to die. I was like, this is it for me. So I'm walking the floor, I'm rubbing my stomach. Oh, Lord, please help me. Have mercy, touch my body, heal me, Lord. God, help me, deliver me. I mean, I'm crying out to him. And it's like I heard him say, why are you crying out to me? What you asking me for help for? I didn't tell you eat 3 pieces of cake. Oh, y'all never had 3 pieces of cake? An entire pizza? I didn't tell you to do all that. He says, why are you crying out to me when I have given you the intellectual capital to know not to do that? But you did it anyway. You're not using what I have giving you. You're not using the intelligence that I have given you, and now you're in a bad situation and you're crying out to me. He said, what you crying out to me for? So I promised, I said, Lord, if you get me through this, I promise you, I will never do that again. Here's the point here. God says to Moses, why are you crying out to me, suggesting that Moses should have already known what to do? He says, use what you have in your hand. Moses, what do you have in your hand? God has already given you something that you know works. He's already given you something where every time Israel's gotten in trouble, this thing that you have in your hand has always worked. Why are you not using it? What was it that he had in his hand? He had a staff. Now, this wasn't just some ordinary staff that you get from Menards. No, this was a staff that had already been used to perform miracles. It's that staff that was in his hand that ate up all the musician staff, the same staff. It's the same staff that was used to bring all of the plagues that came through Egypt. The same staff. It wasn't like you didn't know that you already had something that would deliver you. What you crying out to me for? When I've given you something that is tried and true and you know it works because you've used it over and over again, and instead of using what you have, you are crying out to me. Hear the word of the Lord. Some of us are crying out to God for help, and he's saying, what are you crying out to me for? I've already given you what you need to be delivered from the thing that's threatening you. Stay up all night watching TV. What you crying out to me for? Don't fast, don't read the word, but you're in trouble and you're crying out to me. Spend more time on Facebook than in the book, and then you get in trouble and you're crying out to me. I hear God say, what you crying out to me for? I've already given you everything you need to be delivered. And you're not new to this. It's worked in the past. It always works. Trusting my word, being obedient to me, obeying my voice always works. What are you crying out to me for? How many of y'all have your Bibles with you? Lift your Bible up, whether it's in your hand or on your phone. I know it's 2018. No matter what it is you're fighting this morning, you already have everything you need to be delivered, and it's in your hand. Come on, somebody. God says, the Bible says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. When we look at the armor of God that's in the Bible, this is our only offensive weapon. Everything else, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, that's our offense. That's if we get hit, then we're able to stand it. But the word of God is a sword. You don't hit the sword. You use the sword to destroy your adversary. The sword is a proactive response to the adversary. The sword says, I'm not going to wait until you come after me. I'm coming after you. Come on, somebody. God says, you're crying out to me, but you're not using what I've already given you. We don't seek godly counsel. And then if we do receive godly counsel, we don't obey it. We don't follow it. Then we get in trouble and we're crying out to God. When you walk down your street, we don't eat right. We don't exercise. We don't drink water. Then we get sick. We're crying out to God. I'm going to help us to be a holistic ministry one way or another. If we would use what God has already given us, no enemy would ever be able to destroy us. Guess what? Nothing else is coming. This is it. If we don't learn how to use the word of God, nothing else is going to help us. Would you stand to your feet? Believe it, read it, and say it. Keep your mouth, keep your ears to the mouth of God. I want to pray for you, and then I'll turn it over into the hands of the committee. But I want you to know that God has a word for us. And God is so good and so gracious that he doesn't need a special occasion to speak to us. But he speaks to us every day. Would you start this week off and say, God, help me to discern your voice? Moses would have missed it. The children of Israel would have stayed right where they were and never experienced the power of watching the sea separate and then walk through on dry land if he didn't keep his ear to God's mouth. Here's what I'm saying. We're missing what God wants to do for us because we're not listening to his voice. We have too many other people in our ear telling us what we should do. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. Let us pray.